Welcome to the Gnostic Warrior Radio Show and Podcast, broadcasting from GnosticWarrior.com in San Diego, California, to around the world. Today on episode number 13, we have Jordan Maxwell from the JordanMaxwellShow.com. Jordan remains today as a foremost scholar in modern esoterica, including the subjects of secret societies, astrotheology, conspiracy theory, and comparative mythology. Jordan is actually going to be a regular guest here on the Gnostic Warrior radio show and podcast at least two times a month, so please stay tuned for future shows. Today we're going to go ahead and talk about religion and astrotheology. And Jordan, you're actually one of the first people that I ever saw put the two together when I started researching, you know, the rabbit hole and conspiracy theories and religion. And I became fascinated on this subject, and it was all new to me. So it's basically astrology, you know, which is the study, of course, of the stars and the planets with theology, the study of religion. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Jordan?
Because there is a definite connection between ancient religions, modern-day religions, medieval church, all of this whole theological stream. For thousands and thousands of years, mankind has had longings for the universe, would reach and look into the sky and read omens and signs. And so it's always been a part of the nature of the human being to seek wisdom from the stars and seek wisdom from God, etc. And so we just nail that down and call it theology or religion. But basically all religions and theologies can be traced back to the very beginnings of modern man, going back, I don't know, 8,000 to 10,000 years. And the further back you go, the smarter the people were.
Jordan, when you say 8,000 to 10,000 years, sorry to interrupt you, is that as far as history that we have now, stone tablets, stuff
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, that's the okay. kind of thing I'm talking about. Yeah, because I okay, know, gotcha. there's no doubt in my mind that there have been extraordinarily brilliant, incredibly intelligent, high civilizations on this earth for hundreds of millions of years. But I'm talking about the latest epoch or the latest dispensation, sometimes people call it the latest, in other words, the newest history that we are aware of. Mankind's not aware that there's been life on this earth, highly intelligent life on this earth for hundreds of millions of years, if not. You know, we're finding artifacts, out-of-place artifacts around the world which are in strata, which is buried deep beneath the earth, in strata which is said to be 3.5 billion years old. And so we're finding handmade articles and items in strata in the earth that's 3.5 billion years old. Well, what does that tell you? It tells you somebody was here 3.5 billion, with a B, billion years ago. And then when you see the temples and all of the great monumental structures in the oceans of the world, off the coast of Okinawa, are huge temples in the ocean, the Pacific, off the coast of Cuba, big temples off the coast of Florida. There's a pyramid sitting out in the Atlantic Ocean, 10 miles north of the island of Bimini. Pyramids on the ocean, the Atlantic, temples in the oceans of the world, great structures like Machu Picchu and all the ancient temples of the world, high up into the one which is Chichen Itza, which is in, I think it's Peru or Bolivia, but it's so high up, it's above the tree line, it's above the lines that anything grows, and yet there's huge temples up there. and monumental structures that, using stones that weigh anywhere from 10 to 20 tons, so far up that grass doesn't even grow, and yet they're stone monuments. So when you look at the whole world, it's obvious that this world and that life on the earth has been around for hundreds of millions of years. And whoever's been here before us are so far superior to us that we can't even begin to comprehend what they were doing. We see the remnants of it. We see what's left, which is astonishing. We're trying to figure it out, how brilliant these people were, whoever they were. But all of that being said, it just implies that, our understanding in the past 7,000 years that we have, that we will agree upon that we've been here. The church says we've been here a little over 6,000 years, and that's ludicrous on the face of it, because it's that whole calculation, mankind's been on the earth for 6,000 years, is based on Bishop Usher, Catholic priest, who theorized in his mind that God created Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and all that 6,000 years ago, and so the church goes on and continues to promote that. No, we've been here for, intelligent life's been here for multiple millions of years.
But, Jordan, what's your theory as far as, the church with religion? They, of course, he who controls history controls the future and the past.
That's it.
Do you believe that that's basically who's been in control, and there's been somewhat wars of either different species, alien race, earth race, for thousands of years, and maybe we're coming to the epochs of that, and the people that, of course, are in control now would be the church and various factions?
Yeah. You pretty well nailed it down. That's about it. Yeah, that our religions and the religious concepts and the ideas developed over the thousands of years, I believe, have come from extraterrestrial sources. I don't think we dreamt it up all by ourselves. All of these dark rituals, blood rituals, human sacrifice, I think this all implies a higher, more demented, demonic presence on the earth that drives humans to do these inhuman things. It's man's inhumanity to man. Well, it's very not human to, when a child is born, to circumcise the child. And logic alone would tell you, if God created a child perfect, then why would you go and do some constructive surgery?
And I agree.
But the point I'm making is that the religions can be traced back, the religious beliefs, the Jewish religion, the Hindu, well, I would say the Jewish, the Christian, and the Islamic religions, the three major religions we call people of the book. Is the Jewish, Christian, and Islam are people of the book, because their religion relies on a book. And so
that would be the Abrahamic religions, correct?
Yes, the Abrahamic religions. And then when you discover, as anyone can if you just do some research into the religions of the world, you'll discover that there was no Abraham. He never existed. Therefore, any Abrahamic religion, you better go back and go start all over again, because if there was no Abraham, then what are we talking about when you say Abrahamic religion? Well, the old Abrahamic religion is actually, what we call Abrahamic religion, is actually Hindu. It's Brahmin. Brahmin religion gives us Abrahman, or Abram. Was his name first in the Bible, and then changed the name from Abram to Abraham. But Abram, goes back to Brahmins, the Brahmin priesthood. And that's an extraordinarily interesting research we've done on that, quite a bit, actually, on tracing the Jewish religion back to Hindu, and tracing the Christian and the Islamic religion back to Hindu. Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, all of that can be traced back into the old ancient, into the ancient world of the Hindus, into the Indus River Valley. And as it spread through to the Babylonian, Sumerian, Phoenician, Canaanite systems, given enough time, it spread. And then with the coming of the great empires like Greece and Rome and the British Empire, they pick up all of this stuff and continue to promote it and change it a little bit. It mutates a little bit from time to time between cultures. It mutates, the words change a little bit. But if you go back and just start studying books like Anacalypsis by Godfrey Higgins, studied Godfrey Higgins' book, but also Jerome Massey's work, and my goodness, are just tons of other great reference works on the evolution of religion and philosophy from the ancient and prehistoric world. So, but all of that religions, that, as I was going to say to start with, all of these ancient religions all had a similar basis. They all had a common basis. Somewhere back in time, a long time ago, someone developed, and whoever did it was, in my opinion, whoever developed these ideas originally, going back multiple thousands of years, from which we today are still, carrying on those ancient traditions, whoever they were not of this world. They were absolutely brilliant and far, far too intelligent, I think, to have been just normal humans, because their work has impacted the whole human race for countless thousands of years. So whoever gave us these ideas, I believe, are not from here. And one of the most important ideas that was given to the human family many, many thousands of years ago, upon which we have still our religions are based, is the concept of astral theology. Astral theology. I mean, you ask any child, any Christian child, where is God? And they will point straight up, meaning God is in heaven. Well, okay, so if God's in heaven, does he have angels? Yes. And spirits and angels? Yes. Well, where are the spirits or the ghosts or the angels of God? Where are they? And a baby, even a child, will point straight up, he's in heaven. So the angels are in heaven with God. Well, I hate to tell you this, but anything that's out in heaven, out there, and it has come here, it's smarter than you are, because you haven't gone out there and found it. They found you, and they came here. And so, they are extraterrestrial, meaning they're not from this earth. So God was not, from New York, and the angels are not from Cincinnati. They're from
out
there.
Do you think it's almost, is it almost like a fishbowl?
Yeah.
Where they could pretty much witness what's going on at any time and visit and do what me, and they're intermingling. And, of course, we are the hybrids of them as well.
I think so, and that's why, look at the same thing, same identical thing is true even today with us. We can go into Borneo and to, backwards into the Amazon and to a very, very primitive peoples, and we have technology with our lenses. We can zoom in from a mile away and read a postcard, so we can spy on the primitive races, and have all kinds of recording equipment, and know everything about them. I watch them, and they'll never even know we exist. And if we do show up in our helicopters with lasers and all kinds of high-tech equipment, they're going to think we're from another world. Well, we are from another world. We're just smarter than you are. You couldn't find us, but we found you. With our technology, we know who you are, and we flew over here in a helicopter, and so they would see us as gods. Well, in a matter of speaking, in relation to you, I am a god. And so the same thing is true if there were extraterrestrial life forms who came here from somewhere else. hundreds of thousands of years ago and intermingle with the indigenous people that were here and gave them ideas and concepts and belief systems, they would have been very superior ideas. And of course, if you understand astral theology and astrology and the study of the zodiac, my God, the actual, in fact, foundations of astral theology are absolutely phenomenal. It's a mind trip, realizing how much the ancient people knew. And then when you get into the configuration of the Great Pyramid of Giza, which is not the middle one, but the one on the second largest one that is called the Great Pyramid of Giza. And I've been in the Great Pyramid of Giza three times. I was blessed in the king's chamber in the sarcophagus by a Kemite priest. It's an extraordinary thing going inside that pyramid and realizing.
How long ago was that, Jordan?
It was about, back in 1999.
Okay.
I went to Egypt, and next door to us, we stayed right across the street from the Giza Plateau, right across the street from my window. I looked out on the Sphinx. It was looking directly at me.
Wow, and that's been a dream of mine to go there.
Yeah, it was right there. I mean, with a bow and arrow, you could have hit it because I was right across the street from it. And so at night we'd go up on the deck on the roof, which was a really nice place, you know, where we were staying. And you could sit out there at night and have dinner and look at the stars, and right in front of you is the Sphinx looking at you. And just
wow.
Behind the Sphinx up on the plateau were the three pyramids. And we'd go out there late at night on horseback and roam around the pyramids. We'd have to, you know, we weren't supposed to be near there, so we took horses and went around, all the way around the long way, so we could come in from the desert rather than take the regular roads. And so we rode out into the pyramids at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was just an extraordinary adventure with all the stars out and spookiness, and we're right at the base of the Great Pyramid.
Wow. And like, hey, Jordan, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little feedback on your side. Actually, it just went away. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Maybe it's the spirit playing with us.
Yeah, it was a voice. It was a conversation going on, actually.
Yeah.
I could hear it behind. It was weird, but go ahead, Jordan. I'm sorry.
So anyway, I just know that the ideas that were developed thousands of years ago that we call today astral theology was just divinely intelligent. There's just no way around it.
You were talking about the Giza pyramid there when I interrupted you. You were talking about, don't focus on the other ones, but one of the pyramids, I focused on your trip there, but you were going to say something about that pyramid. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Well,
about
I was
it?
Going to say it's not the middle one. Everybody thinks the Great Pyramid of Egypt is that middle one, the larger one, but it's not. It's the one, the Great Pyramid. The really mind trip is that Great Pyramid, which is it's on the other side of the middle one. And it's just a mind trip when you go in it. Just a trying, if you are intellectually astute to understand the surroundings and you know what the surroundings imply, that pyramid is just astounding. And I'm just amazed how many people have gone through the pyramid and not even begun to realize what you're looking at. You see stones in there in the Grand Gallery. Once you go through, and you know, when you first go in, you can walk in. They chisel it like 8 foot high, so there's no problem walking into the pyramid. But it's about three stories up. You have to go. You have to climb up the stairs to get about three stories up. Then you can go into the pyramid. And then when you walk in, it's 8 foot high, so you don't have to stoop over. It's very easy to walk into the pyramid. But then if you're going to actually go inside of the pyramid, then you have to get down on your knees and crawl into a 4 by 4 foot square hole that's going up at a very high angle. So you're going to be climbing up in a 4 foot square hole, going up high, and you, and it's got little handrails and footsteps, I mean, little prongs to for your feet, and you just have to hold on to the handrails and climb. And it's not for an older person to do, not for an older person at all. But and then when you climb all the way up, then you come out of that little 4 foot square into another room square, but now it's about 40 feet. I would say about 40 feet square. And now it's going up even further now, but it's called the Grand Gallery. And so now you've got plenty of room. The square is now 40 feet about, but it's going way up. And you, when you come out and see it, you're looking at people way up at the top that have climbed all the way to the top. And it's just steps, you know, it's just steps that you have to hold onto the rail and go up that one. If you're young enough, you're going up.
That's the outside of it?
No, that's on the inside. Inside.
Oh, okay.
Inside.
Wow. What's your theory, Jordan? I know you've done a lot of studies, and there's different, you know, people that have written about it. What's your theory as far as what these pyramids are for, and the is it aligned to Orion? Is that the theory? Do you believe that?
Well, I think they have astronomical basis, because first of all, the thing that we know for sure is that as America and Europe has been fed lies purposely, just like an older adult will lie to a little child in kindergarten and play with them because the adult knows, the child doesn't know, so they can tell them anything. And so that's the way our masters, who believe they own the earth, that's the way they treat us, like a little kindergarten, little children, and they just tell you anything, you know, and they laugh at you. So they tell us, well, you know, the pyramids were built by the pharaohs as tombs for themselves. Well, anyone who's got more than 500 brain cells going the same way knows that the pharaohs were buried in the Valley of the Kings. I don't know, it's about 20, 25 miles south of the pyramids is the Valley of the Kings. That's where the pharaohs were buried. There's no pharaoh buried in any pyramid. Pyramids were not any burial tombs. It's ludicrous on the face of it. And the Egyptian authorities laugh at it. You know, when I hear people are there in the Egyptian Museum, people would ask, you know, well, what pharaoh was buried this one? And they all just look at each other and laugh. You know, that's typical Americans. I don't know what their government's been telling them, but the whole thing is funny. It's stupid. There were no pharaohs buried in any pyramids, or no pyramids were built to commemorate any pharaohs. There was no, you know, in that Cheops pyramid, well, first of all, that was, we know it's Cheops because of something that was chiseled inside the pyramid. And then we found out, no, the chiseling was done by a guy who went in there, and in order to please his employer, he said he found something important. And actually what happened is he chiseled the name of the pharaoh inside the pyramid himself. And we know that now. We know how it happened. And another thing is, a couple of things interesting about pyramids in Egypt. One is that all over Egypt, everywhere you go in the temples, everywhere, and I've been all up and down the Nile, and all the temples you see, hieroglyphics everywhere. And the Egyptians were great record keepers. They were extraordinarily record keepers. They chiseled and wrote down everything. But there's nothing in Egypt, anywhere, in any temple, and any writing, no, any papyri, there's no writing or any kind of a, what am I trying to say? There's nothing in all of Egypt ever written about a pyramid. Period. Nothing. And you would think that if the pharaohs built the pyramids, or if the Egyptians built the pyramids, they would at least, you know, say a little something about it. And
that's interesting. I didn't know
nothing,
that.
Nothing. Zero. Nothing in Egypt mentions a pyramid. Period. Nowhere.
For all we know, they could have been put there 1,000 years ago.
1,000 years before Egypt ever existed. Before Egypt even existed. And what's his name? The great Egyptian, I can't remember his name now, but philosopher when he was in Egypt back in that time of the ancient Greek Empire, Herodotus. And Herodotus said that when he went into Egypt, this is back in the Grecian Empire before Rome, and Herodotus said when he went into Egypt, he asked the Egyptians about the pyramids, and they just shrugged their shoulders. We don't know. Haven't got the faintest idea where they came from, who did it. Wasn't us. We don't know. And so, but then in America, all you need to do is tell the kids, well, Pharaoh's built it, and that's it. Go on out and play basketball. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I mean, it's got nothing to do with tennis or anything, so go on out, don't worry about it. And so then our masters laugh at us because we're so damn stupid. You know, we buy anything. We'll believe anything. And so the more I began to roam around Egypt, the more I began to see temples that were just astounding. Inside the Great Pyramid, just going up in the Grand Gallery, the whole thing is made up of stone, of solid stone, like 8 foot high by, say, 8 foot square, maybe 9 foot square, 20, 25 feet long stones that could weigh up to 1,000 tons. And it's all the way up the Grand Gallery, all these huge, enormous 900 to 1,000 ton stones piled upon each other, going up, straight up, and you're going up the gallery, you're going up the stairs, and on the walls are these enormous stones, like 15 to 20 foot long, 8 foot high, square. Now, who in the world is inside with 1,000-ton stones?
Yeah, in my understanding, there's no carvings in there or anything.
Nothing.
Or
zero.
Gotcha.
Nothing. Not even a postage stamp. Nothing inside the Great Pyramid of Giza to tell you anything, period. Nothing. No hieroglyphics. Nothing. So obviously the Egyptians did not build that thing, because there'd be hieroglyphics on everything that they built, all the temples, and the temples themselves are a trip. Incredible.
Do you think the powers that be know yet, or it's still a mystery?
Oh, I'm sure they do. No doubt in my mind about it. No doubt about it. They know.
Yeah. Do you think that there's been something happening? It seems like in the last 100 years, you know, we've just advanced so much from. You know, it seems like we were just kind of stagnant, swords fighting each other, and then all of a sudden, within the last 100 years, we went boom, we're shooting to the moon and going everywhere now, satellites and.
Yeah.
So yeah, it seems like there's definitely something coming.
What's happening in that, and what I think is happening because of that, in the last 100 years, the huge leap we've made, is no doubt in my mind at all. And I have reasons for saying this, that all of our technology and our advancement is being orchestrated by a higher power that is not human. Of that, there is no doubt in my mind at all. I mean, not just because higher-ups and highly placed scientists and physicists and scientists around the world are saying that, privately, that they know that the technology that we are coming up with fiber optics and lasers and computers and wide liquid screens and all that stuff is being given to us by our higher life forms that are manipulating us and playing with us. They're giving us a little bit by little and leading us along and give the kids something a little bit more interesting, and now give the kids something, now they learn that, now give them, now give them computers. Now, once the kids get used to computers, well, now you can give them the bigger computers and flat screens and fiber optics, and where you can run a little fiber optic, a little cable, which is cable of light.
And they're advancing this quickly.
Yeah.
That way.
And so, and the cable of light is capable of carrying, is capable of sending telephone messages from each end backwards, you know, from both sides going to the other side by millions and millions of phone calls instantly on a little cable of light Where do we get those kind of ideas? Well, we're getting it from extraterrestrial sources or from a different dimension. And I've got reasons to believe that things which have happened to me.
Do you think that, of course, with us being hybrids, which I agree with that theory that we're part of this alien race, that they're able to us, especially the ones that are more closer to them as far as their DNA or their bloodline, these entities could possibly overtake them, which they're still Jordan Maxwell or Mo Bedard, but actually kind of carry out their will and give them ideas and build the pyramid or do that, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I think so. Excuse me. And that concept and idea is compatible with Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, because what you're talking about is the great biblical writers and prophets. Well, they all said that they were inspired. You know, the Apostle Paul and all the ancient prophets in the Bible said that God inspired them to write this. And
the Holy Ghost
said, I was on my bed and God came to me in a dream and said, write this down. And so they were being inspired by God. Well, look at the word God in Hebrew is E-L-L. And so in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1:1, where it says, God in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word for God is not El. So you better go back and look at that. Because in Hebrew, El is God, El. But that's not the word that's used in Genesis 1:1. And when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, God is not El. It's Elohim. It's a totally different word. Totally different.
And
Elohim means El is God, and Elohim is a plural on that word, El, for God, and the plural is Lohim. So Elohim means, incorrectly translated, means gods in the plural, more than one.
So if this technology is given to us, and, you know, of course we started out on religion, and it all kind of relates to each other because we're at the end of the cycle of that, I feel, but
I think you that, would, yeah.
That they've given us, of course, these teachings, and they're leading us, you know, hints with how we were created, of course, with the Sumerian creation story, and then it seems like it was morphed into the Noah, the Bible, the, you know, and we have now the seven daughters of Eve and all these different things, and it all deals with, like, the creation of us, you know, and how we got here.
Yeah, Manly P. Hall says that man is the measure of all things. And when you look at what he's actually saying, it's true. Man is the measure of all things, meaning the way the universe operates, the way our solar system operates, is the way your body operates.
That's as above, so below.
Correct? Yeah, as above, so below. And so you have two arms and two legs and the head, so you have five branches of the body, and so five is the pentagram, the five-pointed star. And so, you know, again, all of this goes back to astrotheology. It's, you know, as a matter of fact, there's a scripture in the Bible, I think it's in Jeremiah, it's in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 6:16. In the Old Testament of the Bible, Jeremiah 6:16 says, God says to his people, go back to the old paths. You know, your religion is worthless. Go back to the old ways, the old path. I thought, isn't that interesting? Why would that?
They're telling us in the Bible.
Yeah, it's in Jeremiah 6:16, where God says your religions are worthless. Go back to the old way. And some Bibles call it the old path. What are you talking about? You're talking about the old mystery religions. Go back to the old original mystery religions that the ancient prophets knew. Go back to what the ancient ones were teaching, the people who gave you the pyramids and all the great temples of the world and all the incredible calculations and knowledge of the heavens and all of most extraordinarily brilliant stuff of pyramids on the ocean floor and huge temples so high up that nothing grows, but somebody was up there moving around 20 and 30 ton stones, thousands of them.
So what they were telling us there in the Bible basically is that, you know, giving us the hint that the religion currently that is everybody's worshiping right now is not truly the true religion.
No,
that we
not. That's right.
It's a false one.
It's a false
my understand my understanding, and I don't know if you want to touch on this, it's based on the cult of Isis.
Yeah, I would be a bit surprised, because all this stuff with the Holy Mother, you know, Jesus being born of a virgin, that's Isis. And the women like to talk about the goddess religion. But the goddess religion is just as corrupt as the Roman male counterpart, you know, with God the Father.
This was a fertility cult, essentially.
It's a fertility
correct?
Cult, of course. Why? And this is why, you know, in the ancient Hindu, the word for God was rain, R-A-I-N. Our word rain comes from a word for the name of God in the Hindu, R-A-I-N. And so the idea was, going back into the ancient Hindu, that God was the Father, and therefore he is impregnating our mother. And so the rain was a sacred fluid coming from the Father, impregnating Mother Nature, Mother Earth. Our mother was being impregnated by God the Father. And so when it rained, that was a sexual act of God creating life, because there's nothing here, and when it rains, everything begins to grow in the mother, Mother Earth, Mother Nature. And so if you're going to be if you wake up one day and find out your life is a mess and you want to restart your life and do it right, then you have to be baptized in order to be born again. Well, how were you born to start with in your mother? Well, in your personal mother, biological mother, you came out of your mother's water. Her water broke, and then you came out into life. So if you're going to be born again, you have to go back into your mother's water, Mother Earth. Mother Nature, go back into a river or a stream of your mother and be baptized. The word baptized simply means to go back under the water, your mother's water, and come out again. And this time, you know, now you're smart now. And this time you're older. So now change your life and make it worth something. So that's why we say, you know, now we've seen the Lord, we got baptized, and we've been born again. All of these things are all from the ancient and prehistoric world. There's nothing mystical about any of it. It's all very
interesting. This used to be common knowledge, and they hid it under the veil, which I think the veil of Isis, and that's why,
yep.
Of course, 99.9% of the people who read the Bible or are Christian, and I mean nothing against Christians, but they don't understand exactly what they're praying to or they're reading. And it essentially deals with planets and the history of this brotherhood,
that's
is in control.
Right. That's what it all amounts to. It all amounts to a secret history written many, many, many countless thousands of years ago by higher intelligences and secret societies and paternal orders, which are carrying on the wisdom teaching of the most ancient wisdom and ancient knowledge the world has ever known. And most likely this knowledge that the masters of the earth today are holding are hundreds of thousands of years old, technologies that we don't even begin to understand. You know,
so. Do you think that they've concealed it from mankind, essentially, of course, to kind of build, you know, figuratively that pyramid across the world, Solomon's Temple, where they have control of mankind? Like you said, they could zero in on that tribe in Brazil and pretty much do whatever they want in any Western country. You know, we're all monitored and from A to Z.
That's right.
Do you think we're at that end game now where they pretty much have it sewn up, and if they want to pretty much end it, they could end it?
I totally, absolutely. There's no doubt at all that we are in a particular time where the people, whoever they are, who are guiding the destiny of the human race, have now decided to put the human race under arrest. So the human family on the earth, not just America, but all over the earth, the human family has been put under arrest.
And that's the rule of law, essentially, correct?
Yeah, intellectually and spiritually and in every other, physically.
Gotcha.
So that somebody, someone that's not human, has decided to subjugate this race and make us subjects like in a prison, and that the whole human family on the earth, the entire human experiment, whatever it is we are, in fact, I don't care what your belief system is about God, but whatever it is that we humans really are and where we came from, or someone is actually attacking this whole experiment called the human family.
There's an inquisition
going on right now. Yeah, it's an inquisition, right, exactly. And the idea is to extract from the human psyche, from the human mind, any ideas about freedom, liberty, justice, honor, decency, holiness, anything that has to do with enhancing the spirit of an individual by lifting up his spirit, educating him to give him something to live for, to understand his creator, to understand the divine principles of the universe, and to begin to really rise up as a divine creation of God. Well, somebody has decided that is not going to work. No, thank you. That's not good for business. All we need today are people who will be in compliance. Just do your job. You don't have to worry about any spiritual stuff. Hell, the pyramids are built by slaves that pulled 30 and 40 ton stones in sand, so don't worry about it. And they had sand hills that they could pull 30-ton stones in the sand up a hill and build a pyramid. So, you know, how did they get 55 stories up, 5 and 7-ton stones, 55 stories up? It was just slaves. They just walked up and they climbed up. Yeah, no, you know, 55 stories, almost 60 stories up, 7 and 8-ton stones. And how did they get up there? Well, you have slaves. You just beat them, and they'll crawl up and take a 7-ton stone up there. So it's ludicrous on the face of it what the human race has been given to understand. It's shameful. It's almost laughable. But in the point of fact that somebody is leading us. Somebody yep. is playing with us, and they're leading us into something, and we are too self-centered, egotistical, pompous, arrogant, know-it-all, and so we know everything. We know everything there is to know about everything. Nobody's going to fool us. Well, that's exactly yep. what a con man plans on. That's what a con man depends on, is that you are confident, you know everything there is to know about everything. And how many airline pilots have been ripped off in real estate? And how many neurosurgeons have lost their ass in the stock market or in real estate? So just because you're smart in one thing, that doesn't mean you know the dark secrets of the world.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree, especially when you start studying, you know, this stuff, the occult. You know, you study one thing, and then you start
100 more.
100 more, and you got to watch the information that you study, because everybody's quoting someone else, and sometimes it's wrong.
I know, you know. So, yeah.
Jordan, as far as, let's kind of play devil's advocate here, as far as the information out there. So you have the other side of the coin, which is the first side, is the... We're the frogs in the pot. They put us under arrest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an inquisition, a scientific pharmaceutical inquisition going on
That's
the human
right.
race.
That's right.
And then also at the same time, they're letting us know so you could almost avoid some of this stuff. It's a weird kind of quandary they're putting us in. It's like, oh, here's the information. Here's the government information. They're putting this in your water. They're doing this to your vaccines. And you could actually study the stuff and find actual proof that this is true, and you could avoid it. What's your theory on that? Why is it like the survival of the fittest now they're kind of playing with us?
I think there's some kind of the only thing that I can come up with is there must be some kind of law in the cosmos, not on Earth, but in the universe. There must be some kind of a law that says if you're going to rip somebody off, you have to tell them. You have to tell them what you're going to do, because it's in even in commerce, even in commercial law, a contract is not a contract if there's not a, what the lawyers call a meeting of the minds. And so in commercial law, if you sign a contract, but in that contract there were things that the other person didn't tell you, well, then there is no contract. That's the law in commerce.
That's just like the mortgage foreclosure crisis. Millions and millions of people didn't understand their mortgage.
That's right. They had no knowledge of what it really meant and how it worked, so therefore they lost everything. Well, that's criminal, because you are playing on people's ignorance, and you know that they don't know, so then you just come in and take everything they own, and they don't know. All they know is that they own. Is that you are in charge. You're in charge. So you took their home, you took their family, you took everything.
So they believe that's free will, since you sign there and you're naive enough to sign it and not understand it. That's a free will. They could do what they want.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and a vaccine, it's free will. If you put that in your children, you don't understand what we're doing to you, you offer them up to us, boom, whatever happens,
that's
happens.
That's right. Yeah, you had a choice, but you decided to go along to get along, like everybody else standing in line to get the shot. And so it's up to you. It's up to you. If you want to go along to get along, like all the other sheep, then don't cry and complain when you find out that we're smarter than you are. And when the cows are all lined up at the factory, going in one at a time. And all the cows know that that's where everybody else is going, so I need to get in line like everybody else, never realizing, once you go past that door, you're dead. You're going to be a hamburger soon. And so, that's the way it is with humans. Well, humans, like the Bible says, we love to crawl on our knees to dictators. It's part of the nature of the humans to love to crawl on their knees to a higher power. We're brought up in school, in high school, especially in school period, but especially high school.
Like yourself and myself, I feel like we've rebelled against that authority and being led.
I rebelled against that a long time ago.
Are we the bad aliens, that kind of the hybrids that went astray?
Or are we the chosen ones?
Either or, right?
Yeah, who have been called out of the system in order to help our fellow man. Are we the one cow that's telling everybody when they're going in, don't go in there, they're going to kill you?
That's an interesting theory, Jordan. Can you talk more about that? Because I kind of believe that too. Because at first I was the fearful cow. Hey guys, look what's going on. They're killing us. They're doing this. And I was just like buying into the fear, and it was kind of controlling me. And then I finally stuck my head up and go, what am I doing? And I started studying what was going on and the purpose of everything. And I saw some. Of course, it's evil and it's dark. And then there was some good, because I see how the human race can be at times. And I've been in situations myself where I've been attacked in a riot and almost killed, because my head was buzzed and they thought I was a skinhead and they just wanted to kill me, and literally 100 people almost killed me like animals. Yep. And I've seen this happen time and time again, and I've seen people flip, they're just animals. And I know if society breaks down, because people say, hey, we don't need government, and that's like, oh, yeah, try not having government or just the stop signs at the local, what would go on. So I it makes me wonder, is there, of course, I don't agree with everything that's going on, but I'm thankful that I could study it and find out and maybe be that chosen one.
Well, I know. I believe that every time darkness comes on the earth, because it goes in cycles, and every time darkness now dominates the world, dominates the whole earth, that God, so to speak, the great spirit in the universe, and I don't have any problem at all believing God. My big problem is with religion, but spirituality and believing in the divine presence in the universe, a spiritual presence that has created and is wise, and people call it God. You know, I know that God is simply dog spelled backwards, but I do believe that there is some sort of a spiritual presence in the universe, very, very wise and extraordinarily powerful, watching everything and gives to each person what's coming to them. You know? And so I don't have any problem believing in God. But
do you think that the powers that be possibly that these teachings at one time were out there and they decided to put them in the veil and conceal them and put a kind of a veiled religion out there, which of course I believe is the cult of ISIS, to kind of hide it so they could control man, because man is evil and, you know, brothers kill brothers for a throne, you know, brother kill a dad,
yeah,
a dad
course,
kills a son.
I think that's exactly what happened, and I think that, and I understand it well. You know, there's a lot of things which I have been privy to know because of by chance happened to associate with some very powerful people, and they trusted me and gave me knowledge about things which were going on that nobody's heard and that I'm not about to talk about, but I know that kind of knowledge, the really dark stuff, the bottom line, after everything is said and done, the masters who run this world, they know things you have no idea in the world even exist. And therefore, it is not for you. It's on a need-to-know basis. This kind of information is what they say is on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. And why? It's because, like George Carlin said, it's a big club, and you ain't in it. And so the people who are running this planet need to know. They need to know who are the real powers in the universe. Who are these ETs? And where have they come from? And what can they do? And what can we do to protect ourselves from them? Well, there's nothing you can do to protect yourself from them. They're superior to you. Well, then, if nothing else, let's make friends with them. Let's sue for peace. And so that's what's going on now. And I think I am totally sure that we are slowly but surely, as humans, being taken over by an alien race. A higher intelligence that is slowly but surely moving us into a place where the whole human race is going to wake up one morning and find out you are now finally caught. Now they've got you. And it's taken a long time because it's the way that's the way hunters do it. And you know, I've said so many times that the human race is like the animals out in the Serengeti plains of Africa, you know, out there in the sunshine with their young and just doing what they do and just trying to find something to eat and reproduce, and that's all they do. That's all they know. But the lions are organized. There's only a handful of them, but they're organized and they're deadly, and they're moving in the high grass, and you don't see them. So that's what's going on. I think those lions, symbolically, as a metaphor, are the extraterrestrials, or what the Gnostics call the Archons. Some sort of a demonic other world, other dimension, demons, spirit entities, like I said, the Archons. Whoever these entities are, and from wherever they have come, they've been messing with physical humans for God knows how long, and they're messing with us now, and they're leading us into a dark, dark future that's coming, and the human race is too arrogant, smart-aleck, know-it-all, pompous to admit you've been had. So all this sophistication you think you've got, there are beings in this world that are far superior to anything you could ever hope to be. And you can call them demons or devils or angels or sons of God or watchers. I don't care what you call them. But wherever they've come from, they're far superior to you, and you are in trouble.
What do you believe about these stones, the Georgia Guidestones? Do you believe that's kind of also a warning of what they want in the future?
Yeah, that's where it's heading. I think so. But I don't really place a whole lot of importance on the Georgia Guidestones. Other than I think that whoever did it must have had a lot of money, and they know what they were doing, and it's probably the work of a secret society. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's very secret. The whole thing is very secret. Who did it, and why, and, you know, and all that stuff.
You said, you know, that they put the human race under arrest, and it seems like that now there's a kind of a scientific inquisition going on right now where eventually they're going to get it down because they have it down to a science. We don't even know exactly what they're doing to us as far as the chemtrails in the air.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The food.
Absolutely.
They could pretty much morph us to whatever they want and take out the human race.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But they're going to obviously save some of the people. So it seems like it's of course, they're hitting DNA and specific people possibly and not certain people.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and I've said this, and you've probably heard me say it many times, but it bears saying again that if you have a two-story building and you're going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, like printing presses or heavy equipment, the smart thing to do is to go downstairs with the building inspector first, crawl up in a ladder, remove the ceiling tiles on the first floor, and look at the foundation of that floor to see if it's going to hold that kind of weight before you go building on it. And so what you're doing is you're standing under the foundation to get an understanding, because that's where the word understand comes from, to stand under what you're building on. And so most people have never stood under any subject at all. They just take what they see and that's it. Just go build on it. No, go downstairs to get understanding. And when you understand where our religions have come from, how our commercial system was developed, you know, what the words mean, that's a whole story in itself. It's an incredible story.
It is, Jordan, you know, and we're about up to an hour here, and, you know, I want to let the audience know that Jordan Maxwell is kind enough to agree to come on the show 2 times a month, so it's going to be great to continue these conversations. So, you know, maybe next time we can go into the hidden words, the allegorical symbols in the Bible and religion, you know, kind of continue this religion discussion for maybe a couple more times.
Yeah.
And for you out there, everybody knows Jordan Maxwell. He's been around for several years. You could find him at jordanmaxwellshow.com. It's very important that you go to the website, jordanmaxwellshow.com. Pretty much everybody is finding that out. I saw you on Facebook. I think you have over 10,000 likes now, so fast. And it's a long time coming. I hope that you, I know you're battling for your website. I really hope that that comes to fruition. And everybody out there, please send your prayers or your goodwill and your positive vibes towards Jordan and send him support. You could send him a money order. You can go to his website and donate to him. If you ever want to buy anything from Amazon, please just go to Jordan's website and just click on those links, any kind of books. He's been recommending books. You're doing podcasts 2 times a week now, Jordan?
No, 2 or 3 times a week. And then and on the top of the home page is a thing that says a book club or bookstore, something like that. And that's all the books that I highly recommend. And if you want to make a donation to me, you can always email me first. Email me first, and then I will tell you how to do it. So I appreciate that. We can talk later about many, many things.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And if anybody wants to donate to Jordan, they could email me too, and I'll give you his private email. I don't want to give it out right now. And you could contact Jordan through his website, and then he'll actually contact you if he feels that it's he needs to, and he usually does, and he contacted me that way. So thank you, Jordan. Take care, brother, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, no. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.